Many years ago, I shared a teaching on Ephesians chapter 4. But then out of that teaching, I start to work on something else. And I titled this teaching, To Walk. And what we just heard in the manifestation is that God will give us the strength to walk and to live according to His will. So, we as Christian believers know or should know there are three main basic and fundamental doctrines given to us as the Church of God and members in particular of the body of Christ. The book of Romans instructs us how to be born again, exhorting us not to be conformed or to fashion ourselves according to the age or times. On the contrary, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices holy and acceptable unto God as our spiritual worship, so we can prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The book of Ephesians, which describes who we were before being born again believers, how our manner of life was in past times according to the course of this world and to the prince of the power of the air, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, being by nature children of wrath and disobedience as others. And how God, who is rich in mercy and for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ, and by God's grace and Jesus Christ's complete works, we are now saved and part of His holy family. And the books of Thessalonians, where we are informed and instructed about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for God's people, our gathering together with the Lord. So we can comfort one to another with those words and not to be ignorant that we sorrow and tremble as others which have no hope at all. So those three books, backed and confirmed by the rest of the epistles to the church, established the guidelines as a Christian way of life and understanding how the epistles of Thessalonians instruct us about the gathering together and about the end of the Church of Christ. Let's see how Thessalonians start. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Verse 3 here describes three distinctive characteristics as a common denominator these three doctrines, those of Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians, shared with one another. Our work of faith, our labor of love, and our patience of hope. Go to chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we're going to see what these three characteristics really represent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Chapter 4 here starts with a finally. That's what furthermore means. Finally, after all chapter 1 through chapter 3 talk about, there is a request. The Greek word for request entails intimacy on a special footing with confidence that we ought to walk and to please God. A literal translation of this phrase is that it is necessary to walk and to please God. So we may abound more and more. What is it necessary that we do? To walk. That is our work of faith. What our work of faith, our labor of love, and our passion of hope really represent. Our walk. And this was requested and encouraged to do and continue to abound in it more and more right before the apostle Paul was ready to give the instructions and the information about our gathering together with our Lord. So there is a walk. And Paul is telling that he and the apostle showed the how, because this kind of walk is a necessary thing that was definitely to do in order for us to please God our Father. Now, this walk is something we do not only when we feel like to doing it, but it's something we must do in order to please God. And from the time we are born again until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should do that. We all know the first three chapters of Ephesians, besides the information about who we were and how we all behave in time past, being aliens from the commonwealth of God, or the commonwealth of Israel, because we're not Jews, okay? And strangers, being strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and no God in the world. God, by his mercy and grace, through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, made us knight, abolishing in the flesh the enmity, the law, and the commandments contained in ordinances, reconciling us unto himself in one body, that we now are called sons and daughters of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. In the last three chapters of Ephesians, the apostle Paul left the instructions of the how to do the things of God. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Worthy here is the Greek word axios, meaning appropriately, after a godly sort, or worthy. Vocation is the Greek word klesis, or klesis, meaning an invitation or a calling. So there is an invitation, an entreat, or an exhortation from God to us via Paul, the Apostle Paul, a prisoner of God as he described himself. What is the invitation? To a walk that we ought to be appropriate in accordance with the calling or invitation. And when we accept this invitation, we must practice that walk, an appropriate walk, which verse 2 describes as in agape, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2, with all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. See? in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. So that's the appropriate way to walk in order to please God. So Ephesians 5 verse 1 give us a clue of that. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now the word followers is the Greek word mimetes, meaning an imitator or a follower. We must imitate God and Christ when it comes to practice agape. Verse 2 only reaffirms the need for agape. But some may say, well, how am I going to imitate God? He is God, come on. And God is a spirit. I cannot imitate a spirit. But wait. Jesus Christ was a man, right? Who died for us on a stake so we could be born again to receive Holy Spirit within, thus enabling us to be not only Jesus Christ mimetes, but God's imitators as well. They both are our best example to follow. They are our touchstone regarding agape. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 again say, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Of course, we all know love is what? The Greek word agape. Agape, which has nothing to do with having an affection for something or someone, nor feelings or emotions, at least, not as the world promotes them, are involved in agape. It has everything to do with behavior. And the same goes for lowliness, which is humbleness of heart, and meekness, which is gentleness or humility. But long-suffering might involve some of human hot-heartedness, which we must put away as far as possible to be able to put up with one another. Hence, we may walk in agape. We must understand that worldly feelings and emotions always get in the way of agape or an agape walk. That's why we must put them as far away as possible, just like macrothumia. Remember? So, the agape walk is the only way to walk in order for us to be able to please God. And it doesn't have anything to do with Moses' law neither. Go to Acts chapter 21. Excuse me. You go to verse 20. But in verses 17 through 25, talks about Paul's journey to Jerusalem. It's interesting. Verse 17 say that the brethren received him gladly. Verse 18 say that the elders, all the elders were present. And verse 19 declares that all what Paul declared to all, what things God wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Now, let's go to verse 20 and read what he's talking about. And they, when they heard it, all the things God did for the Gentiles, they glorify the Lord and say unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of you there are which believed. They're talking about converted Jews, okay? The Greek English interlinear say that they have believed, having believed. And they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. What are you doing? Saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the custom. What is it there for? The multitude must need come together, for they will hear that thou had come. Well, the New International Version in verse 22 reads, what shall we do? Paul, what are we going to do, man? They are hearing all these things that you're sharing, that they should forsake Moses, that they don't walk in the custom. Paul. They will certainly hear that you come. Well, what are we going to do? Because they will know and they will come to see you. Oh, May. Houston, we have a problem. Then Houston respond. Right? Here is the man's solution. An example of man's wisdom. Acts 21 verse 23. These are the brethren, right? Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have for men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be a charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee, whatever they're talking about you, are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Verse 25. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood, and also strangle and from fornication. How kind! They didn't want to impose their customs on the Gentiles. So Paul did what was told. But let me read the following verses out of the New International Version. You can keep reading on the King James. Verse 27, Acts 21, verse 27. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, men of Israel, help us! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple area and defiled this holy place. It looks like the brethren's solution only got things worse for Paul. Verse 30. I'm still reading from the New International Version. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions, seizing Paul. They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troop that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. Wow. I don't know. It doesn't say that the converted Jews were also punching, kicking, and trying to kill Paul. But it says that the whole city of Jerusalem was in uproar. Verse 32. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commanders and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Oh, my goodness. Have a question. Was God will for Paul to go to Jerusalem to begin with?
No.
No. He warned him and tried to stop him in many ways. But Paul's response was, you don't have to go there, in Acts 20:24. But none of this didn't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with you in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. How sincere, right? He didn't care. He wanted to die. He just didn't pay attention to what God said. He couldn't be more wrong. That's why, I mean, he is a great example for us in the world, but our better and best examples of an agape walk are God himself and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul did not convert a single soul in Jerusalem. The closest he got to convert one is when King Agrippa told him, "Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian." Paul, you're good, man. I'm almost a Christian. But no, thank you. So we, as Christian believers, are not to be subject to the law of Moses and are not supposed to walk after their customs neither. You know, in verse 24, when the brethren says, "But that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law." The phrase "walkest orderly" is the Greek word stoikeo 2 times. Do you know which English word comes from this? From stoikeo? Stoic. A stoic is a person who accepts what happened without complaining or showing emotion. It refers to worldly style kind of emotions. So, can you see the difference between an orderly walk and an agape walk? I do. An agape walk leads to walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit produces fruits, fruits of the Spirit, which are way, way, way different than what the world produces. And to make it clearer, let's go back to the doctrine written specifically for the Church of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." The phrase "law of sin and death" refers to the law of Moses. Verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that is what was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." The only way to please God is via a spiritual walk. And that can only be achieved by an agape walk. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The Greek word for walk, peripatio, means literally that. To tread all around. To walk at large. You know, it's interesting that in Spanish, en español, pateo or patear means to kick. But when you walk, it's not necessarily that you're kicking, But you know, when we are in Spanish, we have a phrase that says, like when you say in English, it could mean, I'm kicking and alive. Estoy vivo y coleando. When you're not dead. You're still alive. Oh, I'm still alive. I'm
he's kicking, yeah.
Alive and kicking. Alive and kicking. That's, yeah, we have some in Spanish as well. So, peripateo. Pateo in Español is to kick. So just keep kicking. Keep walking. Interesting. So that's what it means. But also means to be occupied with and to live. And there is only one way to please God, and there is only one kind of walk of life that produces that, an agape walk. That walk starts when we learn to walk in newness of life, that results in a walk in the Spirit. From when we are born again believers until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the way until eternal life. Right, Jerry? Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Honestly is also decorously or decently, which had everything to do with behavior. The rest of the words in this verse are involved with walking in the flesh, feelings and emotions, with lust, which is unbridled sexual desires, not chambering, wantonness, strife and envy. First Thessalonians adds something else to an honest walk. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. We're talking about love, right? But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves are taught of God to agape one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Verse 9 mentions Philadelphia 2 times. That's our brotherly love. Our brotherly affections toward one another. And also that we had been instructed by God himself about how to agape one another. Verse 10 exhorts us to excel in agape more and more. Verse 11 exhorts us to strive to hold our peace. That is what to be quiet means. Hold your peace. It really means, and also to take care of ourselves doing our own things. Or in plain English, mind your own business. Be not a burden to others while you labor with your hands. And verse 12, that an honest walk warranties a lack of nothing. What a wonderful walk an honest walk is. It falls under the umbrella of agape. But when we are just newborn again believers and start the process of the renewed mind, most of the time we need guidance, right? And sometimes a reprimand, just like what Paul did with the Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are not ye carnal and walk as men? Well, envy, strife, and division fall in the category of the flesh, where feelings and emotions are rampant. We as human have them all. But we must get to the point of digesting spiritual meat. The renewed mind is a process. An agape walk takes time. Never forget the warning from John chapter 10 verse 10, part A, right? Neither Peter's advice, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. To steal, to kill, and to destroy is the devil's walk. That's what he lives for. So resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let me show you a few more walks we must definitely be aware of and totally avoid. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The word circumspectly here from the Greek means accurately, diligently, carefully. Basically, not to walk as fools or to live as other Gentiles live. Ignorance of God because of their stupidity of their hearts. The word vanity is depravity, corruption, evil, perversion. So we're not to walk as the other Gentiles in the corruption, depravity, or perversion of their minds. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5 says that also exhort us to walk in wisdom toward those out of the world and to make the most of the time. So, walk not in men's wisdom. Remember what the brethren told to Paul and what he got him into. But in the manifestations of the spirit of power, that's where we should walk on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Craftiness here can also be translated in a bad sense as trickery, cunning, elusive, or subtle. And the word deceitful means adulterated. So that's what it is important to know the rightly divided word of God, to handle it, not to walk dishonestly. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourself know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Clearer than the water, right? Clearer than water cannot be. The word disorderly from the Greek means undisciplined, unruly, idle, irregularly, in a moral way. So we must walk away from those people. This word has everything to do with behavior or conduct, not with feelings and emotions. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. First John chapter 1 verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. The word darkness in verse 6 is used as a synonym of lies. Lies are untrue statements with the intent to deceive, is to create a false or misleading impression of doing the truth. On the contrary, light is used as synonym of truth, in which we all must walk or live in the light. 2 John chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, let me get a little thing. Sorry. 2 John chapter 1 verse 1. The elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now, history shows that principal cities in Rome provinces were called elect ladies. So John was not addressing this letter to a specific person, but referring to the church of God. Verse 1 includes us when he says, but also all they that have known the truth. Do you know the truth? Yes, you do. Now, why should we walk in light? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We can see that there. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God's ordained that. Good works are part of our agape walk. These are beneficial activities toward others, especially toward the household of faith, since it's operated by faith and were prayer ordained by God himself, that we abound in them in order to please him and give him the glory above all. But we are imperfect humans and must continue to press in because of that pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Until when? Until our mortality is swallowed up in life. In the meantime, God had given us something to manage life here on earth, to deal with these crooked and perverse times. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. For we know that if of earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. We so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that had wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also had given us the earnest of the Spirit. The Greek international, the Greek English interlineal in verse 5 says, the one, moreover, having prepared us for this purpose, is God. Having given to us the pledge of the Spirit, the purpose is being spiritually clothed in order to claim our heavenly abode for eternity. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The New International Version in verse 7 says, by faith indeed we walk, not by sight. It's an affirmation. Right? And Ephesians chapter 1, corroborate what we just read in verse 5 regarding the earnest of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In whom we also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The word sealed means that we were stamped down with the seal of approval and that God already gave us an advance of the celestial property as security for the rest. We got a proof. See? It's like when you went to buy a property, a house or whatever, and you give a down payment. God already gave us a down payment of what it is to come. So, as I mentioned in many of my teachings, brothers and sisters, we have it all. God's own signature in our lives. And with that, we can accomplish anything. That's why with God, all things are possible. So walking by faith leads us to walking in agape. That is all our Heavenly Father asks from us. I have a couple of questions. Is it too hard to walk? I mean, physically speaking, you know, as a mechanical action, just putting one foot in front of the other, in a continual movement, advancing forward step by step. Is it hard? I should say no. It's not difficult at all. Unless you have a physical impediment, in your body. Or if you are a baby who doesn't walk yet, or because you are so lazy that have not interest at all in doing it, or simply because you refuse to do it. Now, remember the Greek word peripatio, it means to walk at large. It means to tread all around, to be occupied with, to live. So my second question is it too hard to live? The answer may vary. Some may say, no, not at all. I can live. It's so easy. But some may say, no, man, it's difficult life. Oh, come on. It's hard. Well, some may say, it depends. Depends on what? Remember the song, There Is Not Two Ways About It? You know why I like it so much? Because it pictures the two only ways life offers. And if you decide or deny, I encourage you to decide for John 10:10 part B. And avoid part A at all cost. Okay? What about the song Walking with Jesus? Something we can do every single day. Basically, that is a song that accompanies the agape walk. Right? Walking every day, walking every way. And what about in the garden? Well, my friends, songs are great. Music and art, right, Preston? Are wonderful ways in which we can please God. Songs, especially if the lyrics match His rightly divided word of truth. But of course, God's word is unmatched. Nothing can compare to it. And the only thing our Father asks us is to take His hand to walk with Him. That's why He gave us Holy Spirit as an earnest, so we can live in newness of life. By putting on the new man and be able to operate the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, exhorting us to zealously seeking the stronger one in us. And I want to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. I can read it to you because I'm going to read it out of the Greek English interlinear. Be desirous of however gift greater. And now, by more surprising a way to you, I show. The most excellent way, road, path, or journey, my friends, is agape. The agape walk is all we need to do in order to please our Heavenly Father. Keep walking, my friends. Take God's hands. And let's practice agape every day, everywhere, all the time, all the way to eternity. God bless you.